Good morning, historians from around the internet. I hope everybody's had a great week that's passed. Hope the weekend's even better. We're coming up on spring and summer. I have a very interesting video that I'm in the work that I've actually recorded. I've done some research on it, and there's going to be probably two more parts of the video. So part one, part two, and part three. I can't discuss anything about it. However, the second I can, you guys will surely be the first to know about it. But basically, there's an important home somewhere in East Tennessee that I was allowed to go out and film the insides and metal detect around it. And further, the owner does not want any sort of publicity for this home, which has been quote unquote abandoned for the last little while. He doesn't want any publicity for it because he's in the works of restoring it. He was pleased with my channel and wanted me to film it and the other processes that are soon to be involved. So the second that I can speak on it publicly, I will be sure to let everybody here know. All right, so February is Black History Month. So Tennessee has quite the place here in Black history. Before we begin, I would like to state that I do still have the Patreon open, patreon.com/oldhistory. If you feel it necessary to make a donation or support the channel or the project, you can do so securely there. Or you can also subscribe monthly to the podcast for as little as 99 cents a month. All right, so Tennessee's African American history. So, as we all should be aware by now, slavery was ever present in the United States prior to the Emancipation Proclamation, which even after that took effect, slavery still existed for a little while afterwards. In Tennessee, it's where a large part of Martin Luther King got his start as a career, namely out in Memphis, out towards West Tennessee. Here in Morristown, we had the Morristown College, which was one of the first institutions dedicated to the higher education of blacks. And I've made a podcast on that, and I can't remember what episode it is, but you can search through my library and find it. It was started by a Methodist church, and it done a lot of good for the black community here in Morristown. Actually, there's even people come from like states and even half the continent away just to attend this school. One of the things that I like about it is that they made brooms there, and they sold those brooms all around the country to help fund the school. So, but what's the point of this post? Well, I've never really spoke much about it. But I just talk about a few couple of key happenings here in history. One of them is when the Clinton 12 broke the color barrier in the K-12 education in the American South. It happened on August 26, 1956. That day, 12 young African American students walked right up into history in Clinton, Tennessee, and they would be the first students to desegregate a state-supported high school in the southern United States. Clinton 12 were Maurice Soles, Anna Thresser, sorry if I mispronounced that, Alfred Williams, Regina Turner Smith, William Latham, Gale Ann Epps, Ronald Gordon, Ronald Gordon Hayden, excuse me, Joanne Boyce, Robert Thacker, Bobby Kane, Minnie Ann Dickey Jones, and Alva McSwain. Now, this is an interesting turn of events here because while waiting for the state law enforcement officers to arrive, white Clinton citizens actually formed a home guard to try and protect their town. And they even confronted the second white mob. Harold McAuliffe, a member of the home guard and World War II veteran, reportedly said, "I've flown in 26 missions in the war, and I've never been more frightened in my life than that night in Clinton." The Tennessee Highway Patrol would arrive first in a long line of police cars, with Greg O'Rear at the head of the Highway Patrol. He climbed out of his car, threw a shotgun over his shoulder, and said, "Boys, it's all over. Go home." And it was. The crowd broke up and went home. The National Guard arrived the next day with tanks and 600 men and stayed for 2 weeks. However, the acts of intimidation continued after they left. Those would be, lost my place. Crosses would be burned on the lawns of faculty members, shots fired into homes of two African Americans, dynamite thrown into an African American neighborhood, and the school principal, David Britton, sent his family away from the house after receiving bomb threats. In December, a white Baptist minister, his name was Paul Turner, decided to escort the black students to school. And when he left them, he was attacked by several white people in a white mob and was severely beaten. Same day, a couple of white men tried to enter the school through the back door, and they were confronted by a home economics teacher who was also the principal's wife. And also a student was there, too. Britton closed the school for 5 days. The beating and school closure shocked the community. In a local election, all of the white citizen council candidates who were opposed to desegregation were defeated. Eventually, hostilities were reduced. So just 2 years later, in 1958, after failing to stop desegregation, unknown peoples who were theorized to be defeated members of the council, although this has not ever been proven, nobody has been convicted, to my knowledge. They placed about 100 sticks of dynamite inside the high school, and it almost leveled it. Now, with the aid from several nationally famous people, including evangelist Billy Graham, pretty sure everybody's heard of Billy Graham, the county was able to raise money to rebuild the school. And that became known as the Clinton High School bombing. That's a thing to talk about, but not a lot of people know that that happened here in Tennessee. One of the first desegregations in the state. The other one was brought to my attention by the late Randy Bullen, God rest his soul, about Howard's Quarter School in Claiborne County, Tennessee. It was built in the area of William Hoard's slave auction camp. Clinton High School draws all of the attention, albeit negative. Now I'm reading quote-unquote from what Randy said. He sent this to me, and I'm reading from it. Clinton High School draws all of the attention, albeit negative, over the issue of forced desegregation. Claiborne County School asked permission to desegregate voluntarily, and it would be the second public school in the entire southern United States to desegregate, and below is the ruling of the Board of Education. So on September 14th, 1955, the Claiborne County Board of Education passed the following motion. After discussing the matter of desegregation, a motion was made and seconded that the matter of desegregation at Howard's Quarter School be referred to the teachers and patrons of the school. And he has a list of all the board members there. So there we see desegregation starting to take place in the United States. And after that, I'm not sure when exactly it was, but you'd also have the Little Rock incidents where they were still escorted by police. But here in Tennessee, here in Morristown, going back to the Morristown College, one of the very last slaves to be sold on the Rock, the property of the what would become Morristown College, later became a student, and then one of the head deans or principals or whatever they called them. So that's where I'll leave you guys for today. Hope you guys enjoyed this little talk through a special part of Tennessee history. And whenever I posted this on the old history page, most of the people are ashamed that that's where we came from. A shameful time for the country. Some of the older people remember them pretty well. You can get on the page, find that post, and see what people have said about it. So, hope everybody has a great rest of the weekend. We'll see you next Saturday.